Get ready.
We're online. You're listening to the hottest internet station
on the Culture Radio Network.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The DJ Chapman Show.
We just getting started. Welcome to the show. We have a special guest in the building, comedian Loose Cannon, with another Loose Cannon moment. I'm your host, TJ Chapman. What kind of tea you sipping on, Sam? AD, what are your thoughts? It's getting late, y'all. It's time for the chocolate letter. This is definitely for the grown and sexy. It's time for another refill, y'all. Don't go anywhere, so keep it locked. The best is yet to come.
Get ready.
We're online. You're listening to the hottest internet station
on the Culture Radio Network.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The DJ Chapman Show.
We just getting started. Welcome to the show. We have a special guest in the building, comedian Loose Cannon, with another Loose Cannon moment. I'm your host, TJ Chapman. What kind of tea you sipping on, Sam? AD, what are your thoughts? It's getting late, y'all. It's time for the chocolate letter. This is definitely for the grown and sexy. It's time for another refill, y'all. Don't go anywhere, so keep it locked. The best is yet to come.
Get ready.
We're online. You're listening to the hottest internet station
on the Culture Radio Network.
So they can watch it if they got you blocked?
Yeah. You can watch it now.
Nah. They got you blocked.
What's happening? What's happening, family? It's your main man, TJ Chapman, host of the TJ Chapman Show. Happy New Year to everybody. Welcome back, man. This is New Year 2020, man. We are going to be great. And let's conquer together, man. And if you guys haven't noticed, made a big announcement on last week. I just made it yesterday. Shit. Just want to welcome everybody to the show, man, and want to welcome the newest cast member of the TJ Chapman Show, Bottomless Conversations' very own, the beautiful and talented Morgan Williams.
With some applause. Oh, okay. Hey.
That is glad to have you on the show finally full time.
Well, thank you for having me.
Man, yo.
Definitely a shock, but thank you.
Yeah, well, hey, it's you bring a different flavor that, you know, the show's been missing, and you know you have that wittiness, you have that raw talent, you uncut, you don't hold your tongue back, and you just keep it 100 like the old folk, I mean young folks say, keep it 100. So we got a special guest in the building as well. You guys probably know him by comedian Ken Miller. He's going to join us in the bottom of the hour, but he's definitely going to chime in on tonight's topic. And like always, we have my other good friend over there, comedian Luce Cannon. What's happening, brother?
What's happening? Now I got a question. I've been trying to understand this. Why do schools for the blind have yearbook pictures?
Uh-oh. Why is that? Why is that?
Not tonight.
I'm curious now. I'm sure they want to know why. Why
we'll talk about that another time. You know, we got to keep a tight schedule here on the TJ Chapman Show.
All right, so tonight, man, we're gonna talk about, you know, love languages, and you know, some of us have, you know, been in relationships before, and probably currently in a relationship now, and we always wondered, you know, how important is knowing your significant other's love language. You know, so I'm gonna start with Morgan. go ahead and just tell the people how important it is to know your significant other's love language.
I think every relationship is different. So some relationships probably don't require that depth, you know, but for the most part, I think it's very important. Just because if you don't know how your significant other receives love, then it's going to be kind of hard. And, you know, there's going to be a disconnect, especially if because you got some people that actually depend on their love language. And now some people don't depend on their love language, so it may not make or break the relationship. But when you have someone that, like, truly depends on the love language, then it is important that you, you know, find out what that is.
Well, love languages is there's five of them.
Yes,
you know there's the words of affirmation, mm-hmm. the acts of service, receiving of the gifts, quality time, and you know physical touch.
Yes,
and of those, which one do you feel is your number one love language?
Well, I did take I've taken the test because there is a test you can take to find out what your love language is, and I've taken it a few times. Words of affirmation is one of mine. As far as like that's how I receive love. Now, as far as you know, my way of showing it, I'm an act of service person, and words of affirmation.
Yeah,
so,
you like that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go to the married man over here.
Newly married.
Newly,
okay.
Married.
That's good enough here on the TJ Chapman Show.
so, being newly married, love language, you know, becomes one of those dynamics when it comes to getting to know your significant others.
Yeah.
So, how important is knowing your significant other's love language?
Oh, for my marriage is extremely important. We actually, before you get married in the fall, you have to take a marriage class, get a certificate, so they can tell you that you're okay to get married. And you take this test right before, and my wife, her love language is on words of affirmation. So, you know, when she get dressed and she fly, you got to be like, babe, you fly today. When she cook, girl, that food amazing, even if it's bad, you got to be like, man, that food amazing, throw it off your shoulder, whatever you got
to
do.
You might have to cuss out for being fine. God damn, woman, how the hell you get so fine, you know?
Just. So, and then I took mine, and I was shocked that mine was words of affirmation. I really did, because I thought it would have been more acts of service, but I'm words of affirmation. So we're both real big on telling each other, hey, you did good today, you were great, And that love language is important. And if you're in a relationship right now, take the test.
Yes, even if you're not, though.
Take it. Yeah, and if you're not.
You need to know.
So when you start dating somebody, you need to know, like, dog, you need to bring new TVs over here every week. I need these gifts, dog.
Yeah.
I need these gifts, man. And you know, it works for us. It works for us because now I know her language, because when we first started dating, I didn't know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were showing up with gifts and
she's like, I already got a TV. Yeah, like, just thanks, tell me I look good in this shirt.
That's it.
Like save that. You a lot of money.
And speaking of the shirt, for y'all who watching at home, iPhone does suck.
It sucks,
man.
I was late
because
I was on I-4 too.
Apparently, they moved the exit for Colonial. They moved the whole ass exit from one side of the street to another side.
Mm-hmm.
So Waze is like, get off at the left. So of course, mm-hmm. I'm being stubborn. I'm still driving. Because I'm like, I know where the hell Colonial is. And then I passed, and they was like, no, you don't. So I had to go down to Robinson, then turn around, and I was 10 minutes late. And I didn't know he was doing the show in his mama's basement. So I drove by all these houses.
mama's basement looked good in here.
I know.
Oh, man. So you found out that words of affirmation is your...
Yeah, my wife and I, we both are words of affirmation.
And so... Can a relationship last if the love language isn't being fulfilled?
I think so. I mean, if you look at our parents, because our parents were married forever, for most of us. Our grandparents were married forever. I seriously doubt my granddaddy knew what my grandma's love language was.
Mm-hmm.
I just think now we make a big deal out of it now. But I'm speaking for my grandparents. I can't speak for y'all's. But I can seriously doubt my grandfather knew what my grandmother's love language was.
Mm.
You know what I mean? He went to work, came home, went fishing. Like,
that's
pretty much, you know what I mean? You know, he went to church with on Sunday. So, I for me, it's good for my marriage. I can't speak for anybody else's relationship.
Yeah. Like I said, I think it just depends on if you rely on that. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people probably don't even think. If you don't know what your love language is, you're probably not going to think much about it. You just probably going with the flow. What's your love language?
Words of affirmation, believe it.
Okay. I think that's a lot of people's love.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people love it. Because you want to be told good things. You want to get home and your lady say, baby, I watched the show today. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think that's a lot of vibe. Because you take the test, it's very general.
Mm.
It's really general.
And it makes you think. You'd be surprised at some of the things that you pick, too. Because you'd be like, damn, I got to choose between this and this. You know, like,
And two of them, you could have them both.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be like, which one do I lean more towards? And then a lot of times, it's words of affirmation.
Yeah.
And so, believe it or not, you know, with the words of affirmation, people do want to, you know, just feel, you know, hey, babe, you're doing a great job. You know, I appreciate everything that you do for me.
You look good today.
You look good today, even though like that you might not look good, whatever. So Cannon.
Yes, sir.
Words of affirmation. Is that part of your love language?
No,
or?
I'm definitely like a physical touch person. You know, like you can tell me stuff. Or you might tell me something that make me want to touch you. You know what I'm saying? And if I can't touch you, then it kind of, you know, it kind of irritates me a little bit. But I would say that I'm more like a bilingual person, you know what I'm saying? Because, and then I would throw something else out there. I don't know if acts of service really qualify under this, but, like, I would say I'm more like a acts of affirmation person, you know what I'm saying?
Mm. Yeah, let me show me. Yeah, I'm like, okay.
You see what I'm saying? Because, say, for example, and then I won't be long, but for example, if I'm calling you, I need you to be calling me too. To let me know that, hey, you know, I'm not wasting my time. You interested in me, too, kind of a deal. You know what I'm saying? If I'm taking you out, I need to be taken out, too, sometime.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? That's what I would say. That's what I mean by acts of affirmation. You showing me that when I'm me investing time in you is a good idea,
mm-hmm.
if you will.
Right. So can a relationship last, though, if a love language isn't being fulfilled? Once you've identified one another's love language, and if it goes unfulfilled, can it last?
Well, that's a different dimension, TJ. When you teach somebody better and they don't perform better,
mm-hmm.
then that's a cardinal sin right there. You know, it's like I done showed you what you need to do, and you not doing it. You know, so that's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you're dependent on it. You know what I'm saying? If you know quality time is something that I need from you, then, you know, but also you need to know how you show love too. and you need to communicate that. So your person needs to know what is your love language. What love language do you speak? Not just what love language you receive, you know.
And it's okay to tell somebody,
yeah,
hey, look, I like quality time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because most dudes aren't going to know mm-hmm. until you say, hey, look, my love language is quality time. Right. We need to spend some more time together.
Or you have somebody be like, all you do is clean up around the house. And you have to say, well, that is my way of showing you. That's my love language. That's how I speak love, is I'm going to come home, I'm going to clean up, so you don't have to do that. You know what I'm saying? So just talk about
that,
it.
You know, she may be showing it to you, and she may want to be like, hey, I'm doing this shit in vain. You know, why won't she ever tell me, babe, you know what? Did a good-ass job with this house.
Yeah, you got to come in the house and mm-hmm. be like, man, this house looks smell good today. Or, baby, hey, you wash these clothes? Thank you.
You know, make her think that, you know, her words ain't just going unnoticed.
Exactly.
You know? So now, we pulled a question out here earlier today, and one of the things was, you know, how important is knowing your significant other's love language, and can a relationship last if a love language isn't being fulfilled? And so one of the listeners actually chimed in on it. They said, I suppose if two people happen to share the same love language, they might neutrally meet each other's needs without even knowing or being aware of it. Most people receive and give love in their own way, and that there's often a mismatch. So being aware of others' preferred love language can help. But I'm learning it has to go further than that. In order to thrive, at least for my husband and I have to put intentions behind it more. Conscious action to show him I love him is his love language, not just on my own. 21 years of marriage, talking there and still learning his love language. So, it's coming from a married person.
Mm-hmm.
It goes a little deeper than that.
Bro, TJ is reading off a teleprompter. he was scrolling up.
I miss my clicker.
And, I ain't going to tell you how your producer was like, dog, you need to hurry your ass up.
And so they actually got another one, and he said from his experience that my love language has been Braille, while most women I've been with were multilingual. So I guess that means
Braille.
That means they're not, they don't know his Braille. Love language.
That's what it seemed to me.
Braille? Maybe he didn't understand.
Yeah,
his partner's got yearbook pictures.
I don't know. I don't know about that one.
But as a guy,
I think you meant
it. As a guy, is a love language really that important to men? Is it?
Uh-huh. I think men don't realize it is, and I say that just because, like, I was married for 7 years, and thinking back on that, we didn't really get into love languages, but as I think back, his love language was physical touch. I'm not an affectionate person. So we had a lot of disconnect in that area. So I think men, and he probably didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, me, after I actually did the audio book of, you know, for the five love languages, and so I realized that that was the case, but by that time it was, you know, too late. But that was something that I had to bring to his attention. Do you realize that you have a love language, and that is why you're so unhappy in this marriage? Because we are not on the same page in that area. I mean, after everything that we tried, it came down to we wasn't speaking the same love language.
Man, that's deep. So,
yeah, was that her ex-husband? They posted that?
Yeah. Braille.
He's like, I know you're on the show, girl. I've been speaking Braille for 7 years, girl.
Yeah. 7 years I've been on this Braille.
I definitely see the point in that. If you got a touch person and you're not a touch person, that how that would be a conflict, you know.
Yeah, I'm not affectionate, so I'm like.
But okay, my question to that is, how long were you guys together before y'all got married?
Oh, and that was another problem, which I pointed out as well. Like, it moved too fast. Like within a year of us starting dating, I was a wife and a mother of twins.
Yeah, because you should know going into the marriage. Well, she ain't that affectionate, but I like affection. Why continue
you,
on?
And exactly. But when you're accustomed to seeing a person only on certain, like on the weekends, of course I'm all over you because I ain't seen you all week because I'm in college or whatever like that. And that was pretty much the situation because he was 9 years older than me. So I was still in college. So, of course, when you see me on the weekend, oh, I'm this college girl. But, you know, when life hits you that fast, as far as being pregnant with twins, that's a different, a whole lifestyle change. You know what I'm saying? And when you're dealing with the older man trying to, oh, I need to mature up. You know what I'm saying? So there were a lot of things that got in the way of thinking about your love language. Yeah. I didn't know what a love language was.
Because we don't. We don't until we get older and start dating and getting to serious relationships. Really, we're young. We're like, we don't care about love language. And shout out to you. I'm married to a cougar, too. So my wife older than me, so I understand you. I feel it, yo. She's like, he was 9 years older than me. I get it.
I do think the older women got it going on.
Oh, yeah, 100%, man.
I think I look at certain situations on TV, and I think that situation wouldn't occur if it was an older woman. That's a different show, you know. I'm going to just say this. An older woman ain't going to a hotel unless she want to be at that hotel room, you know what I'm saying, at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I don't even know where you're going with this.
But said, I'm out. I don't want no parts of that. I don't want no parts of that shit right there.
We done had a conversation like this on the show before.
He said,
We done had a conversation like this on the show before.
I'm sipping tea, bro.
Right there. And so you raised an important part about, you know, with the men and different things of that nature. So what happens if you're a person that don't know how to express your words or express, you know, yourself to somebody, and your way of expression is, hey, let me just buy him Xbox, or let me just buy him.
Then you communicate. Why? And people are so afraid of that C word. You communicate and you figure out a way. Maybe there's a compromise. Okay, you know what, babe? I know you're probably not good with expressing your words. Maybe you're better on paper. It's still you telling me. Maybe you're better on text. Email me. Send a bird, bitch. I mean, something.
Yeah, that's true.
There are ways.
Me send a bird, bitch. That don't make nobody.
it's funny to me, too.
Put that on a t-shirt.
I'm just saying.
Send a bird, bitch.
Like, come on. There are ways.
There are ways. There are ways.
Oh, man. So, then we got one more before we go to break, before we transition and get into our interview for tonight. Because we're going to go back to the bread one, because I think that went way over.
Man, that bread was hilarious.
So we got another one that says, it's one of the most important things, and the relationship will not last if the comprehension isn't there.
Mm-hmm. You got to understand what it means.
Yeah, and if you don't know what it means, it's going to cause friction. You're just going to be mad for no reason and gang banging on bacon in the morning.
Do your research.
Don't even know.
And like she said, it's at the end of the day, it's communication. If yours is words of affirmation, then you need to tell your mate, hey, man, I like words. Do something. You know, send a bird, bitch. You know, you got to make sure. If it's acts of service, you got to tell them, hey, man. If it's receiving gifts, you got to let them know, I like for you to buy me jewelry and necklaces. Whatever it is, mm-hmm. you have to tell that person. Or take it together. Take the test together.
Yes.
If you're watching the show, you're in a relationship, take the test together. You can Google it right now, the love language test. Take it. And then I'm telling you, some of you guys will be shocked at mm-hmm. your love language.
Yep.
And you won't even know, like, yo, I never knew that, you know, my husband every morning telling me, baby, you look good as you're on your way to work, made me feel good. You never know. Take the test.
Definitely, definitely. So, man, when we get back, man, make sure you guys grab your glass of wine, get your cognac right, whatever's going to make you feel right. We got Ken Miller coming at the bottom of the hour, so keep it locked. The best is yet to come. Let's go.
What's going on, my people on the line, a couple of y'all that chimed in or whatnot, and some of y'all 8 p.m.
on the Culture Radio Network, and go download the Culture Radio app, available on Android and iOS. And remember, it's yet to come. Go.
Okay, so
you're listening to the TJ Chapman Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. So pick up the phone. Give us a call. 213-943-35. Facebook or Instagram page at the TJ Chapman Show. And remember to keep it locked. Best is yet to come.
Hey guys, Big Rich here from the TJ Chapman Show. I want to take a moment to talk to you about some good old barbecue food. Orlando's finest, Barbecue Boys. You can get yourself some ribs, chicken, brisket, pulled pork, or take home a dinner plate with a choice of meat and two of those delicious sides. Mac and cheese, collard greens, baked beans, potato salad, french fries, or cornbread. Hey, and don't forget to take home a gallon of the best signature edition, pineapple lemonade, or dive dessert with red velvet.
And the open discussion is
p.m. to 9 p.m. p.m. They're located at 6014 City Road by the Cinco gas station. That's 4 City Road. Give them a call. 407-202.
After Ken, we'll go to talk about friend zone.
This girl is a keeper, swear I'm gonna keep her. Girl is a dime. Man, I got a dime.
Welcome back. Welcome back, family. Man, we at the bottom of the hour and you listen to the TJ Chapman Show. And I got a little bit of feedback over there. We good? All right, perfect. Awesome. We have the Mr. Funny Man himself, Mr. Ken Miller's in the building. What's happening, brother?
What's up, brother, man? Thanks for having me, man. Yes. I would have dressed up. I knew you was going to dress like Martin Luther King. I would have.
Yes. Yes. Because yeah, I have the dream. That one day.
I came in here in a regular t-shirt. I would have dressed up, too.
I'm going to count that as the second best time somebody got you. One time, Guy Tori got TJ so good about a jacket he was wearing, he had to take off the jacket to get an interview. In order for, you know, TJ to get the interview, Guy Tori, he had to take off the jacket.
I believe that. That's one of my mentors, too. I can see that. So I'm glad I got the second jab out there.
Comedy Grand Reaper. Man. So before we get into it, let's talk about this t-shirt again. I mean, I know we briefed on it in the beginning of the segment, mm-hmm. but iPhone sucks. So is that a apparel brand that you have?
Yeah. My wife and I own a t-shirt company called The Preppy Socialite, and we sell statement tees. You can also get custom tees. We do family reunions. We've done stuff for sororities, fraternities, everything, man. So you can go to thepreppysocialite.com, and you can see them all. Or most times, you come to my shows, I wear them on stage. Yeah, I'm always repping. When the Popeye's chicken thing blew up, we had the Popeye's chicken shirt that said, "I survived the line at Popeye's." We were selling them shirts like crazy. Till Popeye's came after us. But other than that, we made our buddy Popeye's a fuck y'all.
Did that one done. So Ken, what motivated you or inspired you to want to be a comedian?
Man, I've always been a funny dude. I grew up, I'm number 8 of 11 kids. When you got a family that big, man, you got to laugh your way through the pain of getting beat up and teased and everything. Mm-hmm. So I've always wanted to be a comic. So at 18, I was like, I'm moving to New York. I'm going to do comedy. And my mama said, no, the hell you ain't. You're going to the military. So I ended up going to the Army. I did that for 9 years. I got out the Army, man, and then I started working at Sprint. And I was like, man, you know what? It's time for me to try this. And then I went to a place called the Why Not Lounge in Altamont Springs. It's gone now, and I went to open mic for the first time 13 years ago, November last year, man. So I'm 13 years in this now.
Wow, and that kind of, you know, went to my next question of, you know, how long you've been doing
it.
Yeah,
13, man.
And so is 13 years considered a long time in the comedy game?
Yeah, once you get over 10, that's when stuff usually start clicking for most comedians.
Okay.
Some people get lucky. Under 5, you might get something. But for most comedians, when you start getting over the 10, 12, 13, 15 years, you start seeing good things come your way.
Right.
And that's why I tell every comic, young comic, especially Loose Cannon, to be patient and understand the game ain't going well. Motherfuckers been laughing for 300 plus years.
Yeah.
Comedy's not going anywhere. So and once I hit the 10-year mark, I start seeing stuff pick up for me and opportunities starting to come for me.
Right. And behind the scenes, we were talking about, you know, what type of comedian are you, or, you know, the type of comedy do, because you have different type of comedy. And, you know, in my world, I'm thinking you got the dry comedy, you got the stupid kind of comedy, you know, like some of these the comedy movies type of deal, like, oh, that was stupid funny, but not like, you know, Eddie Murphy or
I had to think about that question funny. When your producer asked me. I had to really think. I'm a storyteller. If you want to go with that, I'm more of a storyteller. For me, my hour is a movie. If you come to my show, you have witnessed my whole life. Like, I start off letting people know I'm a father. And then I go into being raised by a mom who used to beat the shit out of me. Then I go into, you know, going through a divorce. And I got remarried. I married an older woman. Then, I go into my military. I go into everything. So when you leave there, you know pretty much everything about my life. Comedy's very personable for me. And I like the jokes that relate. You know what I'm saying? You can get on stage and say something stupid, and people in the audience are like, okay, I don't even know what that means. But if I get on stage and tell you about how my daughter conned me out of $5 for the Tooth Fairy, every parent, you're a parent, you understand that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You can relate to it.
You know, I talk about how our parents would whoop us with anything. My mama would legit beat me with a bag of flour when I was 10 years old. That's a true story. My mama and sent me to school with the flour on me. You know what I mean? So, but it's somebody in the audience who would come to you and be like, bruh, do you know yesterday this lady told me, I'm not BSing y'all, I was in Syracuse, New York, this lady said, I beat my kid with a hamburger with mustard on it. I was like, ma'am, so you telling me you took all the toppings off the damn hamburger? Like, you was really mad at this child. But when people leave my show, they've something related. We related to each other. And that's to me a great fucking joke. If you can walk out of that show and we related to each other, and we know we're not even the same background. Right. You know what I'm saying? I'm black, that person's white. I grew up poor, that person grew up rich. We're not even the same background, but somebody could relate to getting an ass whooping at 10 years old by an object, and they walked out of that show and had a good time. That's
now,
me.
Now, speaking of black, white, rich, poor, is there a particular crowd that you are more appeasing to than others?
I'll tell you like this: I take any crowd. I won't take if it's super hood. I won't do super hood. And there's not no disrespect to hood crowds. It's just the show start too late. I'm 42. I got to go to bed. Like, I can't be. The show can't start at 8 and it's 9:30. I ain't got on stage yet. I got to go home, go to sleep. I got to work in the morning. I got 2 jobs. You know what I mean? Like, I work like 18 jobs. If it's real hood, it's not because I don't want to do the show. I don't like the format of the shows.
Okay.
I don't like it when there's 25 comedians before me and I'm the headliner.
Right.
I like a traditional comedy show. I want to host a guest spot, a feature act, who's my opener.
You have a rapper and everything.
You go to them shows. It's a rapper. It's a twerk contest. Yeah, you know what I mean? Somebody selling fish dinners. You know what I mean? I just, and there's no disrespect to them. I just like traditional comedy.
Right.
You know, I don't really care about the crowd. I take anybody. I just want to host. I want a guest spot. I want a 20-minute opener. And then I'm coming to do 45 an hour. And we taking our ass home by 9:30.
That's it. And then raise an offering afterwards.
Yeah,
just like that. So you got different comedians who talk about bombing on stage.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly is bombing?
Bruh, let me tell you about my bomb, dog. I was 3 years in. You're a young black comic. Def Jam was your thing.
Yes,
I wanted to be on Def Jam. I'm an amazing host. I learned how to host from watching Martin Lawrence.
Oh yeah,
Def Jam. I'm going to be on Def Jam. 3 years in, and that's why we tell young comics sometimes you need to take your time. I shouldn't have been at this audition. I bombed so bad at the Def Jam audition, the DJ danced me off stage. This dude cut the music on and did It Takes Two, and danced me off stage. I get off stage, I go to the back, and Bob Sumner is the guy that books Def Jam. He calls me up, he says, boy, you funny. You just ain't Def Jam funny. I go to the back of the club, a comic that was there named Carmen Vallone. I said, did I bomb? He said, it wasn't that bad. I said, it was bad. He said, yeah, it was. I broke down crying. I was sobbing. Crazy thing about that. 4 days later, went to another comedy club, did the exact same set, got a standing ovation.
That's comedy.
That's comedy. That's comedy. It's the weirdest thing, bro.
It's the weirdest thing.
I bombed at a church.
And Ken, I've been
bro.
I've been wanting to make an article about this, but I done figured out a few things about bombing. All right. Bombing can be circumstantial. Like you say, you went to that one spot and it was, you know, it was funny to all of them, but it wasn't funny at this one spot. You can go to a spot and be fire, but if the PA system is bad and people can't really hear your jokes
it's going to be bad.
It's going to be bad. And it ain't that you ain't talented. It's just that the room is against you.
Yeah. Comedy is atmosphere, too.
How you bomb I'm going to tell you.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, if I get
church
that,
is a very.
Comedy is atmosphere, too. That's why when you go to a lot of clubs, the club is dark. You got a spotlight. Yeah. You know, that's my
all circumstances.
Scene right there. If I'm on stage, I got the spotlight, I got a bar stool, I got some crown on it, I got a mic, and it's just me. You about to get these words. You about to get these things, man. So I drive up to Daytona to do a show at Bethune-Cookman for the incoming freshmen at some church event. It's me and a comedian named Preacher Lawson, you know, Preacher AGT.
Oh, yeah.
And at the time, I was mentoring Preacher before he moved out to L.A. Preacher's super clean. We get there, the dean of students says, they wanted a rapper, but he brought comedians. Instead, I said, cool. He says, also, no cussing. Mm. I said, no problem. I get up there, all 19-year-olds. Now, understand this, I'm in my late 30s by this time. I'm talking about work, bills, they don't know nothing. I'm bombing, bro. I am legit bombing. I bring the next comedian up, he bombing. I bring another comedian up, he bombing. I'm so mad. I go up, I do the dirtiest joke I got. They start laughing. I said, man, fuck y'all. And brought up Preacher. And Preacher's like, y'all made Ken mad. Now, understand, Preacher never saw me bomb. All the way from Daytona back to Orlando, 45 minutes. Superman bombed. I can't believe you bombed, bro. We got to our next spot. He got out the car, ran to the club to tell everybody that I bombed. And I said, I'm never doing the church again.
Churches can be hard.
I've never doing the church.
Churches can be hard because they're very sensitive.
So as a comedian, is it safe to say you have to have two type of materials in your
joke bag?
Because
I write all my material clean. All my material I write without cussing words. Okay. I just like cussing. So when I get on stage, you're going to get these cuss words. Now, if you say, Ken, come do my clean show, I can do it. I can come do your show. I just take the cuss words out. You know what I mean? My show is legit a family show. I talk about family stuff. I just throw a couple of motherfuckers in there. Everybody know my, you follow me on Facebook. You know MF, my word. My word.
You can also just, as a comedian, just know the gigs that you ain't going to do.
Yeah, and I won't do them.
Because for a while, church has just got on my performance list again. Because for a while, I wouldn't do it. I learned that lesson quick.
And I'm working. Like, I still work. And I'm not knocking any comedian to do churches. It's just, you know, they not for me.
I'm going to tell you another example, something I recently just learned as far as, like, circumstances and having a soft set or bombing. You know, sometimes the size of the venue, I've noticed that your timing in a 1,000-plus person venue is different than the timing of a comedy club.
Yeah. Because you're getting more laughs when it's 200 people to when it's 1,500.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And especially if you're doing like a theater, the ceiling is higher.
Yes.
It's the way you got to know it, when you hit that punchline in the theater, you need to chill for a few seconds.
Yeah, a few seconds.
And then go into the comedy club.
This shit brought down to a
I'm 13 years in.
Speaking of that, before I get to my next question, is there a point where you get into a crowd, you're looking out there, it's like, it's only 12 motherfuckers out here versus 4,000 people out there or 800 people out there. Do you still have the same type of energy that you would do?
I give 12 people the same energy as 1,000. They pay their money. Mm-hmm. You're going to get the same. Matter of fact, I have more fun with 12 people than 1,000.
Comedy's
intimate, man.
Yeah, because people don't go tell somebody.
They in there have. Dude, I had a show one time. I performed for 8 people. I did 1 hour and 25 minutes. We had a blast, man. And then I went out and got drunk with them. You know what I mean? Like, and that's my other favorite part about stand-up is the after party is meeting everybody and shaking hands and thanking them. I'd be thanking audience members because they could have paid money to go see Kevin Hart, but instead they came to see the local comic.
Right.
And they had just a good time. They would have went to the Amway to see the big name comic.
Right. So you were named Florida's funniest comedian.
Yeah, after losing twice.
But you won.
I finally won.
And you've recently won the Steve Harvey Stand-Up Spotlight.
Crying like a baby.
Tell us about how that happened and what did you receive as a winner?
I found out I was in Best Buy. A friend of mine said, "Dog, you won." And I went on Steve Harvey's Instagram, found out I won. I started crying. First person I called was my wife. I said, "Baby, I won." She said, "Won what?" I said, "Steve Harvey." She started crying. I had a show. I had to run and jump on stage. I got tears going on my face. I won $1,000. My bad. My family listening. I won $50. $50. And I get to go to L.A., meet Steve Harvey. And then for 3 days, I get to do clubs in L.A. and hopefully sign with a talent agent is the plan. And then Steve Harvey wants to take the top five, me and the top five comics from the competition and do a world tour. A year.
That's
dope.
Yeah, that's huge, amazing, man. Especially coming from, you know, 13 years in the game, and
it's a struggle. It's a struggle, man. Comedians get in this and thinking that they're going to get some instant gratification, and it's not always like that. Comedy is that one thing where you gotta fight. You gotta fight, man, to get known. You got to fight to get known.
Yes.
So what's next for Ken Miller as far as local shows once you get back from L.A.?
Man, I stay on the road. You know that. I'm on the road 40-plus weekends out of the year. Sorry to my kids. I try my best to make sure I see y'all as much as I can. My kids like, "Daddy, you ain't never here, man." But that's the sacrifice sometimes, man, when you start touring, man. I got a book I'm on the works on right now called #TrueStories. If anybody follows me on social media, they know my true stories. It's anything that crazy happens to me during the day, I make a story out of it. I put some bullshit to it.
So. And comedians got the best stories. Yeah, I'm putting it out there.
We got some of the great stories. I'm also, I got a sitcom pilot I'm writing that I want to actually give to Steve and hope something happened with it. I was writing it with a guy named Ed Love. Shout out to Ed Love. And I've been writing it for Ed Love for 3 years, and I'm about finished on it. So I need to let him know that it's about done. So sitcom, book, and dude, man, just I love being on the road. Wow. Just want to get back on the road, man.
And how can the listeners follow you?
You can hit me up on Instagram, KenMiller30, KenMiller30, which is my basketball number in high school. I was that dude to a both Achilles tendons. Twitter, KenMiller30. Facebook, KenMiller-Comedian. Please like the fan page. Please don't send me a friend request. I got 5,000 friends. I don't need no more Facebook friends, dog. And I follow everybody back. Understand, I ain't that famous. I follow and I interact with people. My wife loves that about me. That I talk to fans. I love fans. I love kicking it and talking to people. And if you ever see me out somewhere, we drink together too. All right? And smoke a cigar. You know
and
me.
And oh, Ken yeah, is famous for buying you a drink
and
too.
I will get you drunk, bro. I will get you drunk. And I will buy you cigars all night too. Oh, yeah. We will smoke.
Absolutely. I still remember that night we ran over the cognac club.
Oh yeah, bro. Bottle. You know what's funny about that? You was with a group of people and left with me, and we went and smoked cigars. Me and your brother, right?
Yeah.
And went and smoked cigars. My wife like, when you come on, I said, man, TJ got me drunk, baby. I got to call an Uber. Left my car downtown messing with you.
My man. He started. We started over one spot, giving us drinks, and then next thing you know, buying him drinks over at Cigar.
Yeah, right? Yeah. With the Corona, man, it got Corona's, messed up.
That's the spot.
Yeah, that was definitely dope, man. So, Ken, man, I definitely appreciate you.
Nah,
coming
I appreciate
on the show.
You having me, bro.
And you know, best of luck, man. Big things popping, man. I got a saying that you know, let's be great together,
mm-hmm.
and let's conquer together.
Yes, sir.
That's what it's all about. Because the best is definitely yet to come.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it, man.
So yeah, man. Next week, man. Make sure y'all tune in. You know, we're going to discuss being in the friend zone, and just to give you a little snippet of it. Morgan,
mm-hmm.
why do women tend to put men in the friend zone when they giving you, showing you all the signs, like everything that you already been wanting in a man, but you end up friend zoning this friend zoning him just to be able to suck over here, always breaking your heart, change that.
I mean, because we saving you and I both the trouble of wasting your time. I mean, if I know that I'm not trying to go there with you. Then it's best that but I like your company. I like having you around. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I can either just say, cut your ass completely off, or I can keep you as a friend. You know what I'm saying? And that might work out better for you.
So is it mainly because the guy's not, you're not sexually attracted?
It ain't got nothing to do with sexual attractiveness all the time. You just may not be somebody I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying, fuck with on that level, because a relationship is consist of more than just sex. You can't just fuck me all the time. At some point, we got to talk. At some point, we got to, you know, at some point, other things are going to make, you know what I'm saying, to be important. So I may be physically attracted to you, but then once the lights come on, our conversation is nothing. So you can't fuck your way through a relationship. So, yeah.
Okay.
So it's gonna be one or the other. You can't.
Hey, she
you
said
know,
she.
Hey,
she
all day, all night.
Yo,
you
she said she words of affirmation.
I can't
you
take that
to talk.
Dick to the power company. I need to know what your work ethic like. I need to know how you are with money.
I mean, unless
you know
the lady at the power company ain't had no dick, you might be able to take it over.
Yeah, I might like, look, girl, listen. I know I'm behind, but I got my man in the car. he got some good wood for you. You know, we just need you to go and knock that off. No.
We just need that extension.
I think men should be appreciative
need an extension
of the
for
friend
the extension.
Zone. Be appreciative of the friend zone. I'm just gonna say that. Be appreciative of the friend zone.
Well, you know how I feel, TJ.
Because men, y'all should do the same. You should reciprocate that. I think men don't do it enough. Men don't friend zone enough. Y'all allow these women to think that it's something. Y'all know, just friend zone. Just friend zone.
You know how I feel, dog. It's all or nothing. You know,
yeah,
it's all or
yeah,
nothing.
He, yeah,
it's all
Luke's
or nothing.
Cannon, I want no friends.
You know.
So you ever been friend zoned?
Yes.
How'd it make you feel?
I don't know why, but I'm thinking, hey, I ain't mad. I'm thankful for it. It's a reason for it. And later on down the line, I realized, you know what? I appreciate you for doing it.
Okay, so when you were friend zoned, what did you do as the friend?
I play my role. I'm just your friend. I mean, we cool. If I hit you up, you hit me up. You know what I'm saying? I think I don't need to put so much like stuff. I'm like, damn, what do I need to do? No, we just continue on as friends. And if we're gonna be friends and spend time a lot, then that's what we will do. If that's
why,
not the case,
why do we
then,
have to call it friends?
So I was just curious. I wanted to ask you that because for a man, the friend zone for us is different. Because when we're in the friend zone, we're doing stuff for women that their man should be doing.
Because y'all treat the friend zone like a waiting area. And that's not what it is. It's not saying, stay over here and I'm going to eventually bring you into... No, that's not what that is. It's not a waiting room. The friend zone
is purgatory.
It's waiting room. Like, that's why. That's why.
Can the friend zone? I'm curious. I was just curious. We're in the friend zone. We cutting grass. We putting up ceiling fans.
Let that nigga that she want to fuck cut her grass.
Hold up. I can say nigga. I didn't like that's my other word.
I told you she like.
I'm sorry. My wife watched
that. Let the man that she want cut her grass. Right. It's not going to get you no closer to that.
Or at least charge the man that she wants to cut her grass.
Leave an invoice on the door. And she'll be like, what's this? Friend zone prices.
And she ain't even been drinking. That's the crazy thing.
Some people are just comedically wired, you know.
And that's just what it comes down to, man. Because next week, man, we going to dive deep into this friend zone.
Because we need to.
It's gonna be good because she emotional about it.
I can tell.
I'm trying to save the men out there, my black men out there.
Because at the end of the day, you know, the question that's going to be asked is, you know, does being sexually attracted to someone play a major role when deciding to date someone, or do you go ahead and friend zone them if you don't find them attractive? Because it's a lot that go behind that. And
we can go our separate ways. That is an option too.
That's what it comes down to. I used to work in the call center.
I worked this morning.
Me too.
And you may not find somebody physically attractive, but then because you with that trigger all day, 8 hours a day, 40
then,
hours a
yeah,
week.
Yeah, circumstances
and now
do
you start,
bring about
now you
other
start
things.
Like, you know what? This motherfucker
ain't too bad, yeah.
But that's different, though. You've been with that person for 8 to 10 hours.
Yeah, circumstances do make up a difference, but... You can't get caught up in that shit. Yeah. You can't get caught up in the fact that you
I'm laughing at your producer in the background talking about something. Don't fuck the friend zone up, girl.
Look, I'm trying to help these niggas.
She said, I got somebody coming over to cut my grass tomorrow.
Y'all.
Don't mess up
girl
this friend
code.
Zone.
She ain't like to use the girl friend zone code. As a tool to manipulation,
girl
I see.
Code.
She need her oil change. Girl, he coming over here. Like Lou said, Mr. Girl Charles code. Coming here to change my oil tomorrow, girls. Don't mess this friend zone up.
I don't know. Mr. Charles sound like everybody that do friend zone. So tune in next week, man. We're going to dive into this a little bit more, man, because you guys definitely got to tune in next week. So we're also going to be joined in the studio by the Orlando Phantoms owner, Michael Torres, as he talked about the upcoming season on what it's like to win a three-peat championship in a different league. And so next week, man, we're going to be on and popping. So once again, I appreciate you, Ken Miller, joining
us. Man, thanks
us.
For having me, brother,
and,
man. Appreciate it.
And once again, let people know how they can find you before we go.
Ken Miller 30 on Instagram, Ken Miller 30 on Twitter, and Ken Miller - Comedian on Facebook. Please follow me. I will follow you back. I'm not that famous.
Not yet.
But you're down.
And once again, to the new co-host over here, Morgan Williams. Appreciate you.
Thank
man,
you,
Morgan
man.
Thug life, bro.
And like
Tupac, yo. She was signed to Death Row.
Nah.
Sure must be in the blood.
Thank y'all for listening. This is Comedian Loose Cannon. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and LinkedIn as Comedian Loose Cannon, all three words. Also, find me on GoFundMe as Comedian Loose Cannon.
Hey, and I'm your main man, TJ Chapman. Keep it locked. The best is yet to come. Let's go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The TJ Chapman Show.
We just getting started. Welcome to the show. We have a special guest in the building, comedian Loose Cannon, with another Loose Cannon moment. I'm your host, TJ Chapman. What kind of tea you sipping on, Sam? AD, what are your thoughts? It's getting late, y'all. It's time for the chocolate letter. This is definitely for the grown and sexy.
It's time for another refill, y'all. Don't go anywhere. So keep it locked. The best is yet to come.
Get ready.
We're online. You're listening to the hottest internet station.
On the Culture Radio Network.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The DJ Chapman Show.
We just getting started. Welcome to the show. We have a special guest in the building, comedian Loose Cannon, with another Loose Cannon moment. I'm your host, TJ Chapman. What kind of tea you sipping on, Sam? AD, what are your thoughts? It's getting late, y'all. It's time for the chocolate letter. This is definitely for the grown and sexy. It's time for another refill, y'all. Don't go anywhere. So keep it locked. The best is yet to come.
Get ready.
We're online. You're listening to the hottest internet station.
On the Culture Radio Network.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The DJ Chapman Show.
We just getting started. Welcome to the show. We have a special guest in the building, comedian Loose Cannon, with another Loose Cannon moment. I'm your host, TJ Chapman. What kind of tea you sipping on, Sam? AD, what are your thoughts? It's getting late, y'all. It's time for the chocolate letter. This is definitely for the grown and sexy. It's time for another refill, y'all. Don't go anywhere. So keep it locked. The best is yet to come.
Get ready.
We're online. You're listening to the hottest internet station.
On the Culture Radio Network.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The DJ Chapman Show.
We just getting started. Welcome to the show. We have a special guest in the building, comedian Loose Cannon, with another Loose Cannon moment. I'm your host, TJ Chapman. What kind of tea you sipping on, Sam? AD, what are your thoughts? It's getting late, y'all. It's time for the chocolate letter. This is definitely for the grown and sexy. It's time for another refill, y'all. Don't go anywhere. So keep it locked. The best is yet to come.
Get ready.
We're online. You're listening to the hottest internet station.
On the Culture Radio Network.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The DJ Chapman Show.
We just getting started. Welcome to the show. We have a special guest in the building, comedian Loose Cannon, with another Loose Cannon moment. I'm your host, TJ Chapman. What kind of tea you sipping on, Sam? AD, what are your thoughts? It's getting late, y'all. It's time for the chocolate letter. This is definitely for the grown and sexy. It's time for another refill, y'all. Don't go anywhere. So keep it locked. The best is yet to come.
Get ready.
We're online. You're listening to the hottest internet station.
On the Culture Radio Network.
5, 4, 3,